Welcome to the Let's Talk BS podcast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Sophia. And we're coming to you live
from the 757,
where we discuss real estate, culture,
and current events.
Hey, good morning, Sophia. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Doing well. Doing good, you know?
I feel like we were just here.
We were.
I know.
I remember I was talking about Groundhog's Day. Well, about a month or so ago, yes, like feel like it's Groundhog's Day. We right back at it, you know.
Right back at it, yeah. They said we were gonna have a early spring,
yeah.
And it's cold outside.
It is.
Well, it's not freezing, but I mean, it's colder than it was last week.
Yeah, it's a trip because you're right. Today is technically the first day of spring.
Yep.
And yeah, I had to put my even for myself, I had to put the kids' winter jackets on this morning.
Yeah.
Before go to school where. Like you said, lately, I mean, a couple of days, they didn't have to wear a jacket at all, you know, last week or just maybe a thin long sleeve jacket. But,
right.
But yeah, today, this morning, it was definitely a little on the chilly side.
It was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I know this morning when I walked outside, I was like, whoa, hold on, wait. Should I go back in and get a jacket? But I didn't.
Yeah. Because for me, Tuesdays is the days that the trash and recycling come.
Oh.
Yeah. So I, you know. Take the trash cans. Take the trash cans. They come out my neighborhood really early. So it's like, I normally go to, I didn't go to the gym this morning. I was just like up last night. And I was like, I just didn't feel it.
Yeah.
I'm already about to go on vacation. So I was already in vacation mode. So I was like, let me check out a quick pump before I go. I was like, I'm going to go ahead and sleep.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this morning though, I normally, you know, when I'm coming home from the gym, it's like 6:30.
Mm-hmm.
I normally take the trash cans to the curb on Tuesdays. But this morning it was like 6:30. I'm like, oh man, I need to hurry up and move the trash cans for the trash.
Isn't it funny? Because like when I have to take the trash out, right?
Yeah.
On Fridays. So what happens with me is mine comes on Friday. Mm-hmm. And on Thursday night, I keep telling myself, like, you got to take the trash out. I got to take the trash out. Then something happens, I forget, right? So Friday morning, when they come at the butt crack of dawn, they come.
Hold on. You said the butt crack of dawn?
Butt crack of dawn.
Let's not gloss over that part. You call it the butt crack of dawn?
Yes.
Oh, man. That got to be Michigan. That ain't VA. Butt crack of dawn.
Of course not.
Okay.
Anyway, when they come super early in the morning,
Yeah. You
can hear it. It's like you're fighting against time now. It got to the point where the trash people would come and get my trash cans like for me. They would just come and like be like, here, I got it.
Oh, for real? They would come up to the house and get it on?
Would we meet each other outside?
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah.
They felt sorry for me.
I feel you. Yeah, so it's crazy. So for me, like my bedroom is at the front of the house, like as far as like upstairs. So like it faces the front of the house, right? So I can hear what's going on, you know, on the street when, like you said, when the trash company or the trash people coming to pick up the trash cans or whatever. So there's been plenty of times where before, not anymore, but beforehand, like it'll start up and wake up like, oh man, I gotta hurry up and, you know, jump out there and take the trash out or whatever.
My house is at the, so my bedroom is like on the side and it wraps to the back of the house.
Yeah, me too. Yeah,
so like
a bathroom and all that ends up being the back of the house, but like
my bathroom's the front of the house.
Okay, so we probably, ours got
opposite.
Ours reverse.
Yeah. So like the way my bedroom, it basically goes from the front of the house and then it wraps around to like halfway to the middle of the house. Because I got a for my house, it's a pretty big bedroom, surprisingly.
Yeah.
But that side of the house, I can hear everything. It's like.
Yeah. Me too.
Everything on the street. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I hear music because I live on the main street of my neighborhood. My neighborhood's it's a pretty decent size neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? So anytime, like, even like on Saturday nights, you know, I hear like some young, because I got, like a lot of teenagers in our neighborhood as well. So I hear them coming through the neighborhood with loud music, you know what I'm saying? So I hear that all the time or whatever. But yeah. So the trash, needless to say, I had to take the trash out this morning and I was just making sure that, you know, that I didn't miss it. Because when you miss it, man, it's like, dang, the trash be stuffed. Then I normally have to like go and like take the trash like to another trash can because
I'll never miss it.
Yeah, I never miss it either. Handful of times where I have missed it where I
really?
Haven't. Like, yeah, I mean, because I got like, and also like recently when we went last a week and a half ago, we went down to the Outer Banks. And so we had ordered like a whole bunch of stuff for the house, like sheets, like new plungers and stuff. So they all came from like Amazon for the most part. So we had like, you know, a whole bunch of boxes and things that we put into, you know, the trash can or whatever.
Yeah.
So I couldn't afford to miss this week because everything was like packed to the top. You know what I mean? And then I'm going out of town So it's like, I don't want to leave that on my parents to have to kind of have to worry through that and work through that. You know?
True. So yeah. What I've done before when I've missed the track, like, because in my neighborhood, I would say it's about, in my little community that's right there, we have about 200 houses. It don't feel like it is.
That's not little. 200 houses? That's a big community.
I mean, I would say your community probably bigger than mine.
It's part because the houses are bigger, so it's probably larger space. Maybe. We don't got 200 houses.
How many houses y'all have?
I know it's not 100. I would say maybe the high, like, 80s, maybe around the 80s around there.
Okay.
I have to look it up, to be honest with you. I know it's in the HOA docs. I got to look it up. Yeah. But yeah.
So we only have, like, it's basically two U's of home.
Yeah.
Basically. And then it's a dog park in the middle.
Yeah.
So it's, and that's it.
Yeah, the area is not that big.
It's not that big.
I mean, it's a good amount of, 200 houses is a good amount of houses.
Yeah. Sure. So what I'll do is, if I miss my section of the neighborhood, I'll ride around and find the other section of the neighborhood where they are and be like, hey, can you come back over? And they'll come.
That's funny.
I've done that like twice.
That's funny. Yeah.
Because it takes some, you know, some time to get through. Usually everybody has about two trash cans full of material, whatever. So
what I've done is I normally, like, if I miss the trash for whatever reason, there's been times where, like, I think it was just like because a holiday falls on a certain day and like it comes, like it's been kind of just a weird situation of communication. We don't never really know. Like everybody in the neighborhood would be like,
when it's
what's going on?
It's like,
yeah, it kind of throws everything off. Yeah. You don't know if they're coming this day or coming that day because they were off. So, yeah. You know, whatever. But anyway, the times where I, for whatever reason, I do miss it, there's a school like literally in the front of my neighborhood. And so I'll just go up there. They got a big old trash can. I'll just take, you know, because typically it's a lot of boxes is what we have. You know what I mean? So, you know, like we order, you know, like just Amazon stuff, even like we order food. I'm pretty sure folks out there probably heard of like HelloFresh and Gobble, where you can order the box of food and that you can make it, you know, but they have the pre-portion for you. So it kind of makes things easier. So we do that sometimes as well. And so that obviously garners a lot of trash. And so, you know, with that, I'll just go to the school and dump it, you know, there or whatever if I miss it, you know. But yeah. But yeah. So start of spring today. Right. Yep.
First day of spring.
It's a shortened week for us. We typically record on Fridays. Today we're recording on a Tuesday. I'm actually headed to St. Thomas tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to that.
And I'm headed to D.C.
Yep. Sophia's headed to D.C. on Friday. Yep. So, you know, we're both going to be out of the office, I guess you could say, for a couple of days, you know, getting some enjoyment and some pleasure time. So we wanted to make sure we still, you know, provided y'all some insight on what's going on in our lives and also what's going on in the real estate and mortgage world. We had some big news come out.
I was just about to say, look, even though we just recorded, some big news came out since then.
Yeah, we had some pretty big news come out. So we're going to jump into that here in a little bit. But we wanted to make sure that, you know, we gave y'all, you know, what our perspective is on what's going on. Because it's a major change that I think is going to really change the landscape of how things are being done. I even seen some people talking, like, it was on CNN and all that this past Friday when it came out. I had a whole bunch of different agents, you know, reach out to me and hit me up and say, oh my God, you see this? Oh my God. One of the agents was like, man, I'm about to start working at Burger King now, man. I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, people kind of panicking a little bit. I think it's not going to be that bad. I think it's not going to be as bad as people think, but I do think it's going to be a major change that people are going to have to adjust to for sure.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah, we'll get into that.
Yeah. So what was, I guess we'll talk about, like we always do, what was your weekend like? Did you have any anything that you do?
I did an open house with an agent.
Okay.
This past weekend. The house was beautiful. It was like a townhome. It was a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom, almost 1,900 square foot townhouse.
Okay.
One stall garage. I mean, it was a really nice, really nice townhouse. It was about $400,000. So we sat there for a few hours. We had some people coming in. Of course, because I'm a lender, it's not really much that I can say about the house, like, you know, because I'm not an agent. I don't show houses. That's not what I do. But it was funny because as we were standing there, like, every time they had a question, it was always directed to me. And I was like, redirect. Please redirect. So they would, like, look at me, and then I would look at the agent like, what's the answer to this question?
Did you have like a name tag on or anything?
No, I didn't have a name tag on. Yeah. I don't even know where my name tag is.
I was about to say, I don't even know what mine is either, but.
No, you know, I just introduced myself. Yeah. I had my business cards out.
Okay.
We had we had what I did was is they made a flyer for the open house, and on the back I put like the cheat sheet. Remember when I asked them?
Yeah.
So it had like the different products and it had my information. So I mean, it doesn't matter if I had a name tag on, honestly.
Yeah.
To be real.
Yeah.
When I say I'm a mortgage banker, that goes through one ear and out the other. And they're like, well, can you still show me a house?
Yeah.
No, ma'am. No, sir. I cannot.
I honestly think, though, seriously, I think most folks don't really understand what that is, like what a mortgage banker is. Like, I think a lot, I'm serious. I mean,
that's true.
You know, I think that they see you there at the home, right?
Yeah.
And so they obviously, in their mind, feel that you know about the home in some form of fact. Even though you're there for the more of the financing aspect of it, I feel like they still, like, hey, well, still, I want to know information. You know what I mean? Like, I know for myself, you know, I didn't realize what a mortgage loan officer, mortgage banker was until, like, I was in college and I learned about it. Like, but if I didn't meet a person that was in the industry, like, it would still be foreign to me. I would always think that,
true,
hey, you go to a bank and then that's how you get a loan for a home, just like you get a loan for a car or anything like that. I didn't really think about, you know, that piece of it. I always thought the real estate agent kind of handled all of that stuff until I found out later on.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. I guess, you know, working in banking, my experience is a little bit different.
Yeah.
I learned things from a different perspective because
yeah.
I was 19 working in a bank and I knew who the mortgage banker was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
No, they weren't. Like, I think that now our position has kind of gotten a little bit more laxed. Right, mm-hmm. Especially since the pandemic. I think the pandemic really
got everybody.
Yeah, yeah, everybody.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
We really got to be a little bit more comfortable. It used to be where we used to have to be suited and booted everywhere we went,
that's
you know. And now it's a little bit more relaxed.
Yeah.
Like you can get away with wearing some jeans and a nice shirt
yeah.
and nobody will look at you indifferently.
Sure, that's
you
what
know?
I got on right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I actually came dressed today just because it was Tuesday and I didn't know who was going to be here. But, yeah.
Yeah, I've definitely got lax. I ain't gonna lie. Like, and I'll say this. I remember when I first got into the business when I was young, like, I used to wear, like, suits every single day. And it just, like, I used to be so bad because I would see my friends and stuff. Like, I would get up with them after the fact. And I didn't want to be wearing what I was wearing, like to kind of hang out or
yeah.
you know, go to a bar. So I would have to always go home and change and end up being late and all that. And so
yeah.
just like I used to dread, you know, having to dress up, you know, every single day for work. And so like once I kind of got myself established a little bit, like I started not to dress up as much. I would still
mm-hmm.
dress up, but just not as much. But coming out of the pandemic, though, yeah, after the pandemic, like, man, like I can't tell you the last time I wore a suit for work. Like, I mean, I've wore a suit like for like an event, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like,
yeah.
just like to go to work, I mean, that's been years. Like, it's been a while. You know?
Dang.
Yeah, yeah. Just, yeah. I don't know. It's just, I kind of, it's almost like some resentment there because I feel like
you wore
I've done
it, for
it
so
my
long.
Whole life,
yeah.
man. My whole life. So it's just like my whole working or, you know, a life, I would say. So,
yeah. Now that I think about it, honestly, I've always, since I was 18, I've always had to dress, even, okay, so. Since I've been 18, we're not going to talk about my jobs before 18, but since I've been 18, I worked at Victoria's Secret, and I used to have to wear black slacks, black blazer, and any shirt underneath. Then I went straight to Chase, and at Chase, you had to dress up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to Wells Fargo, had to dress up.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went to Navy Federal, had to dress up, and now I'm here in Atlantic Bay, have to dress
yeah.
up. So all my adult life, I've had to dress up for work. I've
yeah.
never had a very casual type of employment.
Yeah, yeah, me too. I mean, the mortgage space, I mean, that's all I've ever done. And it's,
mm-hmm.
you know, business is, you know, that's what you're supposed to dress like. You
exactly.
know? But I feel like you said, it's gotten laxed over the years, man. You know, and honestly, it's not as much face-to-face interaction as it used to be.
Yes, true, too.
So, you know, a lot of times, you know, you're
even
doing
in the
stuff
banking
on the phone.
Space.
Yeah, you can doing stuff on the phone.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a, you know, a different time that we're in now where I think just that presentation isn't something that is as needed anymore.
That is true. That
yeah.
is true.
Yeah.
It's funny because when I get people who say, hey, can you meet me at the office? I'm like, well, Fridays is my day.
Yep, yep. Now you just say, hey, I'm already going to be there on Friday, so I'm just going to,
yep.
you know.
Yeah, because
yeah.
everything, I mean, my perspective on that is nowadays, everything is pretty much set up for you to do everything online, right?
Yeah.
And if you have a tight window of closing within 30 days, if you have all these different, if you want everything mailed to you, chances are you will not close in that time frame. Yeah. Yeah. So you got to either get on the boat or jump off the ship. Like, yeah. it is what it is. So,
yeah.
You know, I can meet you at first and you can come in and we can do everything in person. But then from there on out, almost everything is going to be done electronically.
Yeah, that's true.
Almost everything.
That is true.
So I feel like you should get used to utilizing that online system so that way it becomes familiar each time you have to use it.
Yeah, because I know when I first started, I mean, pretty much the initial conversation probably was on the phone. Do you know what I mean? Because we used to do a lot of cold calling. But I know like 80, 90% of the applications that I took back then, I mean, the applications were face-to-face. Like, we would always talk on the phone to set up, hey, when is the time you can come by the office?
Correct.
And then from that point, I mean, obviously you want to be dressed because you're, you know, yeah. You want to be dressed a certain way to make sure you, you know, present yourself in a way. So, I mean, we took applications, you know, in person. Now, I would say the total opposite of that. Now, I would say, you know, 80, 90% of the applications I do are all online and virtual.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying?
And back then, smartphones were just coming out.
Yeah.
We really wasn't utilizing them the way that we do now. Like,
correct.
Everything is online. Your bank accounts are online. All your social media. I mean, there's nothing that you can't do with your phone.
Yeah. I mean, shoot, and even now with, I mean, now AI is starting to become prevalent
that
as
too.
Well. That even is taking it to another level.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Where you got people, you don't even have to, like, now, you know, we're in the era where you don't even have to, like, respond with your own words. Like,
correct.
You can just kind of, like, you know,
tell it what you wanted
it
to
say
and it'll come up with a whole list of things.
Yeah. So it's crazy, man. It's crazy the times that we're in and how things are. If you just look back 10, 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
I know sometimes you're in it, so you're always just adapting. But if you actually take a second and look back and see how things were compared to how they are now, a lot has changed.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It is a lot different.
But you said this weekend, you said you didn't.
Open house, and then I cleaned, pretty much relaxed. I really wasn't doing too much this weekend just because I knew that this upcoming weekend I would be gone.
Yeah.
But it was funny because it's only me and my oldest daughter that's going where we're to D.C. this weekend. And so it's more now it's having a conversation with Jada, the middle baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I said something like, I told her I was going to do her hair a certain way so then that way she can be able to kind of manage it herself while I'm gone.
Yeah.
And so she was like, what? I was like, we had this conversation. I'm going out of town. She was like, so you can't just like cancel your trip? Like, what? No. She was like, so is there a reason why you have to go? Like, you can't do this at another time. I was like, we're going. You will be here.
That's funny. Kids, it's funny.
And she basically wanted me to cancel the trip.
That's funny. Yeah. That's funny.
Kids are something.
They are very, very hilarious.
Yeah. And she said that she wanted to come, and I was like, no, you can't come on this trip.
Yeah.
I said, when your time comes, when it's time for you to get to this stage, it'll just be me and you too.
There you go.
You know?
Yep.
But she don't understand that sometimes. She'll understand it later though.
Yeah.
For sure. What about you? What was your weekend like?
This weekend, pretty much kind of very similar to what you said. Just relaxed weekend with us getting ready to go out the country, actually. Or not out of country, we're out of town. Because St. Thomas, I think it's Virgin Islands is still considered, you know, U.S. territory. But
it is.
Yeah, we just kind of relaxed, cleaned up a lot, you know, got the house prepared for my parents because they're going to be the ones watching the kids in our absence. I went to a birthday party. It was cool for my son. He got invited. One of the kids on his basketball team turned 7. So we went to the birthday party, which was pretty cool. It was funny. Actually, it was in an area in Chesapeake that I've never been before. I feel like because I grew up here, I've been pretty much everywhere. I mean, it's kind of like Western Branch area.
Oh, okay.
So I know like the overall area I've been before, but like this specific neighborhood, I've just never seen it before.
Wait, hold on. Wait, back up.
Okay.
This kid goes to your kid's school?
No, he was on the basketball team. Yeah, he was on the basketball team with each other.
I was
yeah.
whoa, that's a distance.
Yeah, yeah.
Every day.
Right, yeah.
Once a week, okay, but woo, I had to think about that. Okay.
Yeah, they're on the same basketball team. Okay. And so, yeah, so we went to the birthday party. It was fun. My son, you know, really enjoyed himself. It was a nice day on Saturday as well. Mm-hmm. So the party was outside, pretty much in their front yard. They had, like, the big bouncy house, and then they had, like, a video game truck come by so the kids can play video games and, you know, do that thing, which was pretty cool because my son, he's never really played video games. Like, he'll play his tablet, but not, like, actual video games with a controller and everything.
Okay. So he knows how to play, like, Mario Brothers on a tablet, but just not
controller. Yeah, and not like like a PlayStation or Xbox type of controller. He's just the tablet stuff where you move your finger, you do that type of thing. He does that all day, every day. But like actual controller where you got a A, B, X stuff, he's never really
done before. I thought that he was new to like gaming, like in general. Like he's never seen Mario Brothers as game.
Nah, just the console and how the game is being played. Okay. Yeah. So, that was pretty cool for him to see that.
You got some upcoming birthday gifts and Christmas gifts that you can.
We'll see. I don't know. I'm a kind of.
Not this early, but it's going to come.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's going to come. It's inevitable. So it was pretty cool for him to experience that. He was kind of frustrated at first because some of the kids that you could tell had already been playing the games. And plus, my son's five. The person who had a birthday was turning seven. So the kid is a little older than him. You know what I mean? So they're a little bit more advanced when it comes to certain things. They know a little bit more when it comes to certain things. So, it was just cool to kind of see him, like, you know, navigate that type of situation and, you know, still have a great time when it came to that. So, the birthday was pretty much the highlight. Then Sunday was St. Patrick's Day. Sunday we cleaned up. I cooked on the grill, which was really, really good. Made some hot dogs and some chicken wings. It was really, really good. Took the kids outside, threw the football around with my son. My daughter was playing in the grass and the dirt as she loves to do. I made some
grass and the dirt.
Yeah, she likes that gardening. In our backyard, she likes to dig in the dirt and find rocks and, you know, break tree branches and just, you know, do that stuff. She just loves that stuff. Like, she'll literally stay out there for hours doing that.
That's funny. Yeah, my daughter used to like rocks.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
And she used to paint. So if you go to like the city parks and stuff here in Chesapeake, if you really pay attention, obviously you got to really pay attention, but people leave colored and painted rocks in the park.
Okay.
And so what my daughter would do is when she would find one, she would pick it up, she would take it, but in exchange, she would go home and she would paint her own rock, and then we would go back to the park and put it down. Or sometimes we'll already have them and just kind of like exchange
swap
them out.
Yeah, that's what's up. Yeah.
They got like little kits for it too, because we used to do that. That's what she used to do, is paint rocks. Sound crazy, but.
Yeah, my daughter,
like
she's like.
Smooth
she doesn't,
rocks. Well, I don't know what they're called, but they're probably about that big.
Yeah, so my daughter, she got a smaller. Smooth. They're like that big. She like the ones that are a little
pebbles.
Smaller. Basically, like a little pebble rock or whatever.
And then you paint it.
Yeah. Like, so, I mean, it's weird because she doesn't really do anything with them. She just likes to, like, play with them outside, collect them. And then she has a collection of them in the house. She has, I mean, it's just a whole bunch of rocks and, like, even, like, acorns and just little stuff, man. So that's her thing.
Yeah.
But we did that on Sunday. Made some green beers, Brooke and I.
How do you make green beer? Oh, you put dye in it.
Yeah, just put some green food coloring in it. Yeah, put some green food coloring in it. So that was pretty cool as well. That was kind of an idea I had because we did that when we like first started dating a long time ago. We had went to this bar on St. Patrick's Day and they had green beers. And so we did that for a couple of years.
Beer.
Never had green beer before? Mm-hmm. Yeah. We did that a couple of times. But like as we started having children and stuff, we kind of like stopped doing it, I guess you can say. So
I know that. When you're at home, you put the food color, the color in there, and it turns it green. But like when you're out and about, does it change the flavor?
I don't think so. Yeah, I think it tasted the same. Yeah, it tasted the same this time. I remember beforehand, I don't really recall it being like it really affecting the taste of the beer at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was wondering if it was like a flavor to the color.
I'm pretty sure they got that stuff too. Yeah. But the times I'm talking about, it was just literally. I'm pretty sure it was food coloring. Same thing that we did or whatever over the weekend. So,
nice.
So that was pretty cool. With St. Patrick's Day, I seen a lot of people participated here locally in the Shamrock Run. A couple of my buddies did that down at the beach as well.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. I'm gonna have to try to do that. I did that before a couple of times, but I'm thinking maybe next year I may try to participate in and run in it as well. That was something I've always told myself I wanted to do, is I wanted to run like either a half marathon or full marathon. So we'll see. We'll see. That's going on my one of them things on my bucket list. Yeah, that I'm gonna do. You know, I've always dread running. I've gotten better at it. I actually was like a week and a half ago, I ran 5 miles, which was the longest I've ran in a while. Like I typically would plateau at like 2 to 3 miles. Then I've been consistently running about 3 to 4 miles. But the other day my music was going, I had the right tunes on. You know how you're running, and it's like, you're like, hey, I'm gonna go ahead and push this thing out. Yeah, I'm gonna push this thing out. And I ran 5 miles. So that was, you know, my best I've ran in a couple of years for sure. But yeah, I'm gonna try to get me out there, man, and run a half marathon, which is 13 miles, which is a lot. So we'll see. We'll see. But
the good thing is you don't have to run at all. I mean, you can walk some of it.
Yeah, but I'm going to try to push myself. I'm going to try to run the majority. I'm going to try to just walk when I absolutely. That. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm going to have to absolutely like work and train for that type of thing. But yeah.
One of Amaya's friends did the Shamrock last year.
Okay.
She played volleyball with.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what's up. But yeah, that was my weekend, man. Just like I said, getting prepared for the trip.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, moving on.
Yeah.
in later news.
Yeah.
So there was one topic that I wanted to bring up that that I saw. I actually saw someone else speaking on it, and it kind of came to my attention and made me want to discuss it on the podcast. So one of the things in home ownership that you have to be aware of is something called capital gains tax, right? And capital gains tax are profits that you gain from various types of investments, which includes stocks, bonds, real estate, things like that, right? And so when you make a certain amount of money on those investments, then you have to pay what's called a capital gains tax. So it's not just taxed at your regular rate. It's called a capital gains tax. And the typical threshold is if you have an investment and you make $250,000 or more, you pay capital gains tax for a single person. And then if you are married and you make $500,000 or more, you pay capital gains taxes. Now, the rate is based on your income. There are some exemptions. You just have to look up what they are. But just as a general, you know, statement, you are going to pay some capital gains tax. But in 1921, that was when the first capital gains tax that was introduced into the federal income tax system, right? And back then, the average sales price of a house was $6,300.
Damn.
Right?
Mm-hmm. 100 years ago. Okay.
Over 100 years ago, right?
Yeah.
So now, in 2024, the average sales price to a house is $412,778.
Dang.
But yet, we still have the same capital gains threshold. So it's very easy for if you bought a house, let's say your parents bought a house in the 80s and they sell it. It's very easy for them to have a capital gains tax implemented on that sale because chances are either the house is paid in full or they're going to gain $250,000 or more, or maybe even $500,000, depending on if your parents are married or not. But there has not been a change in the capital gains threshold.
So it's been
the same?
So it's been $250,000 even since the 1920s?
From what I read, yes.
Okay.
You know, I'm not a tax expert. Yeah. You know, definitely reach out to your tax advisors for more specific information. But it's pretty much been the same.
Yeah.
You know?
That's crazy when you think about it, because, like, it's
The home average home sale price has, I don't even know.
What do you call it? The quintilly,
quintilly, quintilly? Right. Like, you can't even say tripled. Like,
it's 10X, as they say. Like, 10X, like something. 20X, 30X.
But there hasn't been a change. And I feel like, you know, with the sales price or the average sales price that we have nowadays, like, there has to be a change to that capital gains threshold. Like, I feel like if it was up to me and I could implement that, I feel like it should be $500,000 for an individual and then $1 million.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, the government is all about making money.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's going to change, because then that means less money for them to tax you on.
Correct.
But
yeah, that's tough, man. Yeah. Yeah. Because I'm an investor in real estate, I've paid, like, I do everything through my business. So I haven't had to pay capital gains tax.
Correct.
You know, because that's typically, I think it's through your person.
Correct.
You know, individual.
Individual, or, yeah.
But I mean, obviously I've paid taxes on, you know, flipping and building houses.
Correct.
Through our business, through the corporation. So it's like, it is a lot, man. It's a lot. I mean, mm-hmm. obviously my goal always is try to, you know, go about it in a way, and having and as we mentioned before,
CPA.
A CPA or somebody who's really profound in that industry to be able to kind of, you know, guide you when it comes to, you know, trying to not to give all that money to Uncle Sam, man, because that's ultimately what it's about. I hear a lot of times people complaining about, like, people who avoid, like, you got these billionaires who, like,
absolutely.
Don't pay any taxes or whatever, but that's the name of the game for me. I mean, like, the name of the game, but it's, if you knew better, you do better, right?
Correct.
Like, name of the game, man, is trying to avoid paying taxes. Obviously, you want to do it legally, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if there's a way to be able to put the money into this, to do this, to kind of move it here, and to be able to do things in a compliant way where, you know, you don't have to pay taxes, I mean, that's the way to go. You know
absolutely.
What I mean? So I'm all about learning.
So anybody that's self-employed has that opportunity to use those loopholes to manage the amount of taxes that you're paying. But
correct.
When you work for someone, it's already set as a
correct.
As a set amount.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're always going to be taxed on the income that you earn. But when you're self-employed, you have a little bit of wiggle room.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a fact.
To manage that tax amount that you pay.
Yeah.
Another thing that I wanted to bring up was the Biden tax credit that he's trying to attempt to give. So,
yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah, so basically, he's proposing that there's a new tax credit that would give first-time homebuyers a $10,000 credit mm-hmm. when you file. And it may be broken down into 2 years. So you may only get $5,000 the first year, $5,000 the second year. But then he's also proposing a separate $10,000 tax credit for current homeowners who sell their house, who sell their starter home, to then jump into a bigger house. Mm-hmm. And you get the same $10,000 tax credit.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that second part. That's
yeah.
That's an incentive. I think they're trying to obviously get people to sell their houses. I know rates are
correct.
Higher right
that's
now,
what they're
so that's
trying
just
to combat.
Yeah, trying to give someone an incentive to sell the house, and we call those move up buyers. You know, when you bought your first home, and let's say you bought in the last couple of years, you got a lot of people who typically, you know, they say that the average person, you know, moves every 3 to 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
But you got a lot of people who purchased right before the pandemic or right around the pandemic who would have typically, you know, looked at moving. Maybe their family's growing. Maybe they had an opportunity, a job somewhere or whatever. But a lot of people aren't moving because of the rate, you know, that
correct.
They currently have, and because their monthly mortgage payment, you know, is going to be the lowest it's ever going to be, right? And so
absolutely.
They don't want to jump back out there. So being able to incentivize that as far as with that tax credit, I think is a good it's a good way to kind of get people out there to sell their home so we can combat this inventory issue we have for the buyers that are out there, you know, that actually are trying to move out and buy homes right now. So
now, one thing that I can say is that anytime there's some type of proposal that goes into the government, there's always a chance that it may not happen.
Correct.
I just really hope that this time it actually goes through, because I feel like Biden kind of gave a lot of people hope when it came to the student loan.
Yeah.
Forgiveness. And obviously there are some people that actually got the student loan forgiveness. If you worked in certain fields, you were able to receive it. But there are a lot of people who don't work in those fields who still have low income and who can't pay off these student loans.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was stopped at what, the federal level or Senate? It was stopped in the Senate.
Yeah, the Senate. I think the House passed it and stopped at the Senate level. Yeah.
And now we're kind of, they're pretty much in a standstill.
Yeah,
you know, we can't really do
that's
anything
why voting
about
is,
it.
That's why voting is important, man, because, you know, your House representatives, you know, depending upon who you put in those chairs, you know, it's going to be, you know, Democrat, Republican. I'm not trying to get into weeds of politics, but, you know, the representation is important because, you know, whoever is heavily represented, you know, a lot of times those are the ones that those rules get, you know, signed off on and get passed
absolutely.
Through, you know?
Yeah, you just want to make sure that you're not just voting for a president, because the president doesn't really control some of the things that come through. From my understanding, the president only controls, like, war, right?
Yeah,
they have that final decision if the United States has to be involved in a war. But as far as, like, laws and rules that happen in the government, I mean, that's the Senate, the Congress, the governors, the mayors, all the people who are locally, and that's how That's where you want to vote. Those are the most important voting times.
Absolutely. A lot of people don't vote during those times. They just know about those election year every 4 years. But there's a lot of other elections that happen between that.
Exactly.
That judges. You go out there and vote. Yeah.
You know, all of that stuff is important. You know.
I know you just spoke on, I got a question for you, matter of fact, too, Sophia. What is your outlook on, I know you have a daughter who's, you know, getting ready to, you know, probably go to college here very soon. Or look, at least thinking about going to college. I was having a conversation, I think this was maybe like 2 weeks ago, with one of my buddies about college. And, you know, we had two different outlooks on. We had some similarities, but two different outlooks on, I guess, the, you know, just the thought of it or whatever. But I see a lot of people, like, are saying that, you know, college isn't for everybody, which I agree. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But what is your outlook on college? Because, you know, with the way things are now, I remember when we was growing up, you know, a bachelor's degree was like, yo, if you got a bachelor's degree, then you can get a good job.
Yeah.
You can get yourself a good job. Mm-hmm. But right now, I feel like a bachelor's degree is equivalent to like a high school diploma. Like, I feel like with a bachelor's degree, that really doesn't open up as much doors. I feel like it really starts at the master degree level, to be honest with you, for you to be able to get a decent entry job that pays, you know, what you can, like, pays enough money for you.
I don't agree with that.
You don't think so?
No. Because you can not have a master's degree and make the money that it depends on the industry.
Okay.
Is what I think.
Okay.
But go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, we were just talking about the avenue of going to school versus going into the workplace during that time and gaining experience in that field versus going to college. Like, obviously, there are some jobs, there are some careers that you're going to do that you're going to have a college degree for. So I'm not talking, I mean, obviously, I'm not a lawyer, a doctor. Those jobs and those careers, I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about, you know, just your working class job, you know, working at the shipyard, you know, being an electrician, like whatever that field is that you do. If you really look at it, that a lot of times when you go to college, the amount of money that you make coming out of college with that degree, and obviously most of the times you're going to have debt that you're going to have as well coming out of that. So kind of taking all of that into account versus starting in that industry right out of high school, maybe doing like an apprenticeship or maybe doing something where you're like you're able to sign into a program where you can learn that industry on the job type of training and not have the same type of tuition that college that you may potentially have to have with college. Like, you know, a lot of times, and I've even speaking to this HR, I'm helping this buyer right now who's an HR director. She was telling me, like, you know, what they look for a lot of times is just experience. They're, you know, so they'll take somebody, if somebody has a degree in that field and if somebody has 4 years of experience working in that field, they covet the 4 year working experience in that field versus somebody who's just been taught that, you know, that field or whatever while they were in college.
Correct.
So, you know, that's kind of how I think. I think that, you know, and depending upon how you approach college, I mean, the good thing about college, I think, is like relationships, the people that you meet. Like, that's really the best part about that, for real. If you're not going to explore, you know, one of those jobs that you actually, or careers that you actually have to have a degree in to be able to pursue. But if you're kind of working more so in a trade, or your job that you're doing doesn't require, you know, an actual bachelor's degree, but maybe if you have that alternative experience in that job, I think that might be the way to go, man. Because I see, just like what you said with student loans, man, you got people that are like, I'm 37. Like, you got people 30s, 40s, 50s that are still paying student loans, man. Like, your 4 years, you know, and we see it all the time when we help people buy houses. Like, you got people that are 50s and the 60s that are still paying on student loans. So for 4 years or 5 years or however long you were in college, you're now paying for this for 20, 30 years. Like, to me, that just doesn't, and the job that you're doing, that just doesn't make sense to me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know?
So I think that when it comes, I have different perspectives, and it really just depends on the avenue that you go towards, right? So I talk to my daughter about school all the time. We always talk about, you know, college, what that looks like, what she wants to do and things like that. And I always say, go to college, get your degree, get the degree, you know. And then if you want to do something else and pivot, at least you always have something to fall back on. So when you turn 40, if what you was doing wasn't working, right, and all that experience that you gained wasn't getting you where you need to be, at least then you can pivot and go into a different avenue, and it's not going to be as hard, because then at least you can show that you have the degree.
But see, that's minimum. But that's my point. That's why I was saying I was talking to the HR representative. She told me that I agree with what you're saying, right?
Yep.
To an extent. But if you have that degree, and like you said, let's say you were doing other things that didn't utilize that degree, and like you said, hey, you know, what that you're doing doesn't work, and then now you're trying to get a job within that degree. Like the experience, what she told me was like the experience
it does.
Is going to outweigh a person with a degree.
It does, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time.
So they spent that same 4 years working in whatever and then didn't have a degree. They're going to look at that equal or even greater than somebody who has a degree who hasn't utilized that degree in that 10, 15 years of, you know, whatever they were doing. You know what I'm saying?
Correct.
Yeah.
And in that case, yes. But mm-hmm. in another case where you have went to school, got it, let's say you get a degree in social work,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you got your degree, but then you say, oh, you know what? I want to be an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And you go and do that. But it doesn't work out because not all artists make it to where you need to be, right?
Correct.
But then when you figure out life and you become that adult that says, okay, I need to do something, mm-hmm. and you don't have any experience in social work, right? Mm-hmm. You can't just jump into social work. You mm-hmm. can't just become a social worker,
yeah,
right?
That's true.
So then you need to have that degree to fall back on. So then, yeah, it may be tough getting in that door, but it's better to have the degree than nothing at all because 100%. Then you can't get into that window at all,
yeah,
right?
Understood.
So that's how I feel about it. Like, I'm not saying in every circumstance is going to work like that.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's a lot of jobs that you don't have to have a degree, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But if at the age of 18, you said, okay, these are the avenues and they're not related, get the degree in what you think you want to be, but then you can go off and do something different. And if it doesn't work out, at least you have something to fall back on as opposed to nothing yeah. to fall back on. Because yeah. then what ends up happening is the individual that didn't make it in art, let's say something like art, right? What are they going to do? Then they're in their 30s or 40s trying to figure out like, okay, well, where do I start?
Yeah.
You know?
I guess I'm looking at it from the perspective of when you're 18, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you're getting ready to decide, hey, do I want to go to college and pursue this social worker's degree?
Mm-hmm.
Or do I want to actually get into social, because you can get into social work without having a degree. You know what I'm saying? Like there's things that you can do that would allow you to be able to like go on to like apprentice programs and things that you can actually yeah. work, you know what I mean? And it doesn't require as much, you know, money out of your pocket or tuition that you're having to pay, and you can have that same experience. So that's what I'm saying. So even when you look back when you're 30 years old, if you have that on your resume, if you have 4 years of social work on the job working as a social worker, as a social worker and assistant, whatever that role is.
It may get you through that door,
You know, versus having a four-year degree in social work, like what an HR director told me is like, they're going to look at that as equal. Like it's not like the degree stands out more than a person working
correct.
In that year, in that four-year field. And a lot of times when people are doing that and that, you know, are trying to get that degree, I mean, they're having tens and 20s and 30s and 40s of thousands of dollars of debt that they're paying on, you know what I mean?
True.
Which also is enabling them to be able to do certain things too.
That's
you
true.
Know, versus, you know, not having to, you know, come out of pocket and do certain things or whatever, you know. So it's just something to think about. I mean, I didn't want to get too deep in it, but it is something that I see that, you know, now that, you know, the way things are, the internet, I mean, that's what it comes down to is the internet, you know, and how
yeah.
you can do things, you know, a lot differently than it was, you know, the 90s or the 80s and even early 2000s, where, you know, you can work and do things that don't require, you know, a degree, you know,
absolutely.
Anymore. You
yeah,
know what I'm
that's
saying?
True.
You know?
Yeah, I feel like compared to other countries, we're already kind of behind,
yeah.
you know?
And I
think that just furthering your education
oh, yeah,
as much
I'm not,
as you possibly can,
oh,
even
yeah.
if it's, you know, a bachelor's degree. It's better than, you know, nothing.
Yeah.
You know,
I just think the only thing is that I see it, and especially in our community a lot of times, is like we want to get these degrees, and I feel like they're not for the right reasons, right? I feel like we try to get these degrees sometimes, you know, and it's like, hey, I got my bachelor, I got my master, I got my doctor's degree, but you're not even using it. You're getting these degrees just to say that you have these degrees.
Correct. Now,
and
that's
to me,
that's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah, but I get that. That's what I'm trying to say. Like that, but like that type of stuff to me, that's why I said if you're not going to college with a plan and with, hey, I'm going to do it this way. And even like when it comes to financially and how you maneuver that part of it, a lot of times people are just getting student loans, getting student loans, getting student loans, just try to get the furthest they can in education just to be able to say they have a doctor by their name or whatever. But when you look at what they're doing for a living, it's nothing to do with what
absolutely.
The doctor degree is.
And absolutely.
I just hate that in our community where like, hey, yo, there's other ways that you could actually get the same type of education or the same type of experience and be looked at on paper the exact same way yeah. without having to go so far in debt. And so true. That's just something that just isn't, you know, I see it, man. Like,
you just have to have a plan.
Yeah, you got to have a plan. And I know people change their mind and stuff, you yeah. know, but even if you change your mind, just how you go about things, man, is very important because right. you could really, like, people getting that debt that early in their life, that really can affect them in so many different ways that I think people don't really think about.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as like, okay, what career you could potentially go into, buying a house and being able to start that equity and start that yep. generational wealth, as everybody likes to say. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like all those things are hampered by you taking out all these student loans, you know, earlier on in your career.
Absolutely.
Your life. So yeah.
That is true. Yeah. Now speaking of kids, younger children, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I saw recently in the news where Planet Fitness.
Uh-oh. What's going on with Planet Fitness?
There was an older lady who was in the locker room at Planet Fitness. And there was they were part of the LGBTQ+. I think I said that right.
Okay.
I think they're part of that community, uh-huh. right? But they were in a bathroom. And by the eyes, they appeared to be a man in the bathroom, and he was shaving.
Mm. In a woman's bathroom?
In the woman's locker room.
Locker room, wow, okay.
And there was a 12-year-old girl in there in a towel preparing to shower to get ready and leave. You know how some people shower and get ready in the locker room.
And she had an adult with her, but go ahead.
And the elderly lady who was there said something, and she said, hey, why are you in this bathroom? He responded and said that he was a transgender.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was this uproar online where that was a problem. But then Planet Fitness, they actually kicked the woman out. The elderly lady, and allowed the man to stay, or the trans person to stay.
Yeah, I mean,
in the locker room.
But from my understanding, though, that's why stuff is so tricky now, man. It's crazy, man. They even doing that. Like it's crazy. So it's crazy because I think like when it comes to like rules and regulations, I think they probably did the right thing as far as what you're supposed to do, which to me is the wrong thing. Like I know you're not supposed to question and stuff. Like I was having a conversation with I went and had lunch yesterday with an agent, and we were talking about like our children and just about like schools and like private schools and things of that nature. And she was talking about, you know, she's looking at trying to get her child into another school because of a very similar situation where there's a kid, and I think their kid's like in middle school or like I think it's middle school if I'm not mistaken, but there's a kid that identifies, so he's a boy. Right. He was born a boy with boy parts.
Mm-hmm.
And he identifies himself as a girl. Mm-hmm. So he dresses up just like a girl, wears dresses and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes to the girl's bathroom. Mm-hmm. And like there's a big uproar about it, the school and you know, because from my understanding, like you can't, and the way she was explaining to me, which I actually kind of heard, but I don't have the experience in it, but like you can't discriminate, I guess, when it comes to that transgender people who identify. So if they're saying that, hey, they are a girl and that's what they're identifying as and they want to use the bathroom and it's a girl's bathroom, that's the bathroom that they're supposed to use, you know? Or if it's like a gender, you know how they have the bathrooms where it's like both genders can use it or all three genders or however many genders there are now can use them,
mm-hmm.
you know? So there was uproar because people were like, yo, these are kids. Like, why are they having to, like, make these types of decisions and be around this? But it's crazy, man. Like, shit, that's crazy. I'm not even going to talk about my personal experience with my children, but that's tough. That's a tough situation to be in. I mean, because what do you do?
Yeah. I was thinking the same thing because I was thinking from a perspective of being a parent, and I was thinking about, I have this young teenager, right, that has ladylike parts.
Yeah.
Right? She looks like a young adult. Yeah. Right. And sexual desire can cause you to arise, mm-hmm. you know, in certain situations. And this child being naked in a towel in front of a man in a locker room, or even a trans in a locker room, I wouldn't want her to be in a situation where she doesn't understand. Because I'm the adult. I understand what's going on. But her as a child doesn't understand. And I know we could say that I'm supposed to educate. But what if the parent doesn't want to educate? Then what? You know, it's just...
Slippery slope, man. It is.
It's a slippery slope. Mm. It definitely is. And hopefully... I don't want to say it changes, but hopefully they can come to a resolution where everybody's happy, right?
Yeah.
Where we can have women or I think they call it cis women or people born as a woman. I really don't know the right way to say it, but hopefully, you know, we have our rights, trans have their rights, and then men, you know, have theirs. And everybody is like comfortable.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And it feels like now it's taking one person's rights to make another person happy. And we just have to come to a point where everybody's happy.
Yeah. And it's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough.
It's very tough. Yeah. Now, breaking news.
Boom, boom, boom. What we referenced earlier today.
Right. NAR and these changes. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Man. My phone was blowing up on Friday.
Yes.
It was right around lunchtime. I was eating lunch. And I started getting texts and phone calls. People saying, you see this? You see that? You see this? You see that? But yeah, NAR, the National Association of Realtors, they came to a settlement agreement. You know, there was a big lawsuit that was going on. And they came to a settlement agreement. It was like over 400. It was like 418 million or something
like
that.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So... within that settlement, though, there were some new, new ways that things are going to be being done. And that was something that we've kind of hinted about, you know, for a couple of months on different episodes of the podcast. You know, you hear a whole bunch of things like, hey, this is what's going to happen when we come out of this or whatever, once the agreement or whatever was settled happened. So, you know, there's been a lot of little things that are going to be changing now. But the biggest thing that I saw was that the commission for an agent is no longer going to be on the MLS, right? And so the traditional way things have been for as long as I can remember is...
I think I saw it since 96, I think it was.
96, okay.
So for a while.
Yeah, for a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, the way things have always been is that a listing agent meets with a seller. They go over... like the cost of what it's going to cost to sell your home. Typically, the way it worked is just kind of throughout the industry, and here locally, I would say, it was 6% that the agents would be able to get paid on the transaction, right?
On your average home sales price, right?
Exactly.
So if you're talking about million-dollar homes, their commission, they have their average too, but this is all in your average median... probably $1 million or less type home.
Correct. Yeah, so it's 6%. And the way it would work is the listing agent would get 3% and the buyer's agent or the agent that brings the buyer to purchase the home, because both of their jobs are equally important when it comes to buying and selling real estate.
Can I make one correction?
Yeah.
So yes, it was 6%, but the way it was before was the listing agent would tell the seller, my fee is 6%. But because there are buyer agents, if the buyer agent brought a buyer to that house,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Then
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Would, yeah, I was saying it was 6% as a whole, but they were explaining how that 6% was going to be broken up.
Correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they would have a conversation with the seller, so the seller understood, you know, what the costs were to sell the house. Right. Obviously, mm-hmm. the agent's fees, any closing costs that they may have as well. And then potentially, depending on the house, the market, the demand, you may also be asked to pay for the buyer's closing costs, right? Those are all things that a listing agent would prep a seller for so they understood the different costs doing business, as they say, right? Correct. Now, the way it was typically put out there was on the MLS, they were putting how much the buyer's agent was going to get paid out of that 6% pie, correct, right? So a buyer's agent, when they look at the MLS and they're getting ready to show a property to, you know, their prospective buyer, they would already know what it was going to be, you know. And obviously there's circumstances where sometimes it was 2%, sometimes it was 1%, sometimes it could be as an incentive 4%. But on average, it was pretty much 3%, especially if the listing agent was getting a full 3%. They typically kind of split that 6% in half if that was the situation, right? But now that information is not going to be able to be put on the MLS. Right. So that knowing how much you're going to get paid commission wise is going to be kind of, you know, taboo, I guess they say, or in the dark. Or you can reach out to the listing agent for every type of every home that you see and ask them, hey, well, what is this going to be? What is that going to be? And that just kind of becomes a really big gray area, mm-hmm. because, you know, a lot of times as a buyer's agent, they're going to want to know how much they're going to get paid. And they want to know that upfront even before they show that house, right?
Mm-hmm. Because nobody works for free.
Yeah, nobody. And, you know, real estate agents, they get paid in a commission-based, you know, world, right? So they don't get paid just to show houses. They get paid once houses get to the finish line. So you're going to have now where a real estate agent may not know, a buyer's agent may not know how much they're going to get paid until, you know, that negotiation time frame happens, or negotiation time happens when, you know, a person's maybe looking at putting an offer on a home, right? And then now that commission part, that could also be now more of a negotiation piece as well, right? And so that's just going to kind of muddy the waters. You're going to have probably some buyer's agents, they're going to be reluctant to sell or reluctant to show houses if they don't have a clear understanding of what the commission is going to be, because that's going to influence their decision on what houses they show for buyers.
Correct.
I know a lot of times, you know, even with my wife being a real estate agent, a lot of times what real estate agents do is, or realtors, you know, including you as well, is when you talk to a buyer and go over what a buyer wants in a house, and after you've been pre-approved, you set them up on an automatic email, mm-hmm. right, where any house that comes up on the market that meets the criteria of maybe how many bedrooms, bathrooms, size, price point, city, location, whatever, anytime a house comes up, it's going to actually pop up into your email. So you're going to get it the same exact time as that agent that's helping you, you know, so you can kind of look through the pictures and see if it's something that you want to actually physically go look at.
Correct.
Well, a couple of agents I talked to, they're like, hey, I'm not doing that no more. Because right. I want to basically filter through those properties before I bring it to that buyer's agent and make sure that I'm going to get paid a certain amount of money or whatever, right?
Right.
So it's just a very interesting situation that I feel, you know, that it's going to start happening. I don't think it's going to be as bad as everybody, you know, is anticipating, or like, you know, everybody's like, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm going to do, whatever, whatever. But I think it's definitely going to be a major change. And that's just one of the pieces that are changing in the within that settlement agreement. And I think it starts in mid-July, if I'm not mistaken, as well.
Yeah, it does. I was actually reading over the disclosures on Saturday. So when I was at the open house, I wanted to see what the disclosures look like.
Yeah.
So the agent pulled up the MLS and we were looking at some of the disclosures. And one of them is like the standard, I can't remember what the name of the document is, but basically in there it just says that NAR basically implemented like, hey, we don't have nothing to do with the sales commissions. That is completely negotiated between you and the listing agent and the agent and the buyer. Mm-hmm. And it basically just kind of, it adds verbiage to wipe their hands of it so they don't have to be included in it. But from what I saw, I mean, the listing agent can withhold the commission and say, well, you know, submit an offer and then I can tell you how much you're going to get paid, right? They can say that. And then secondly, the biggest thing that I saw was that the VA, so veterans, they cannot pay commissions.
Yep.
And so that does, especially us being in a heavy populated community with veterans and active military, that is going to displace a lot of buyers that's using that VA home loan because they cannot pay the commissions. They can't even pay a broker fee. They can't pay. There's a list of things that they can't pay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, if that listing agent isn't willing to give the the heads up that they aren't going to pay the fee, or if they aren't going to pay it, then that veteran can't move forward on anyway, you know? So it's just, I don't know if that's considered discrimination. I'm not really sure, but it kind of sounds like it.
Yeah, it does.
I guess we'll see, you know, how that plays out. The only two options is either the VA is going to have to come after NAR for discrimination, or the VA just going to comply and update the non-allowables and allow VA veterans to pay that fee. But we will see come July.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's
we'll still see. Some months in between now and then.
Yeah, maybe some things come out, like you said. I mean, I think that's typically what happens sometimes, too, is that once something big as this, you know, comes out and says, hey, this is how the new way of going about things, right? They normally, push it out a couple of months so they can kind of work through maybe some kinks, maybe change some other minor things as well to kind of, once it starts, have a better landscape of exactly how things are going to be done. So, it's just very interesting. I think this is a monumental day in our real estate world. I seen it even on CNN. It made national news just this change, which is a big thing. I mean, it's a huge settlement, huge amount of money, and a huge change, when it comes to when you're thinking about something that's been done a certain way since 96.
Right.
Now we're, close to 30 years later, and it's, something that's changing tremendously. And you got people in our real estate world. I mean, I always say people, in our real estate agents or realtors and brokers, it's a big community, right? So you try to look out for each other, what I'm saying? But you got some people, man. I wouldn't even say some.
Savage.
You got a lot of people who they just looking out for I.
Yeah.
And so they're going to try to manipulate every situation to make sure they get the greater good out of it. And a lot of times those people don't last but so long because it's a small world for real when it comes
is.
To, this real estate
if
world.
If you decide that you want
you
to take
name,
the full, yeah,
yeah
you get a bad
yeah,
name.
Yeah, yeah, and people start seeing your stuff and they're just not going to deal with you.
Yeah.
It's just interesting, man. I'm really.
And then on top of that, it's going to cause a lot of real estate agents to want to become listing agents,
correct.
Right?
Yep.
And so some of those people who are dominant in the listing agent side of things, if they tend to go that route, then it's just going to be a lot more buyer agents that are gunning for that listing agent side.
Correct.
And so they'll make it right.
Correct.
With or without you,
But then I'm also thinking about it from the standpoint of because people are, 6% has been the kind of the norm. That's people have been doing for a while. But I think you're going to have listing agents that are going to be going out there. And they already do this now because they were able to do this beforehand, depending on how they went about it. But you can have a listing agent say, hey, look, you list your house with me, you're only going to have to pay 4%. And say, hey, customarily it was 6%, but we only got to pay 4%. And, I'll figure out how, we'll talk about it where I get 3% and the buyer gets 1%, or whatever. And so, therefore, that incentivizes that seller to try to go with them because ultimately a seller's their number one,
goal is to make as much money as possible. Correct.
You know what I'm saying? So
if you can
incentivize like, hey, you go with me. So when you go into listing appointments and, hey, instead of, paying the typical 6%, you list your house with me, you only have to pay 4%. So that's an extra sometimes $6,000 to $8,000 that a person can make, even more than that, depending on the price point. So you're going to have people who are actually going to have that niche and attack listings and be able to try to gain listings in
that manner. That is true. But what could happen in retrospect, right, is that could happen. You're right. But then that house could sit on the house a lot on the market a lot longer. And so they could potentially not have their house sell as quickly as they thought it could. And then what happens after that?
That's true. But I feel like it's going to take time to get there because I still like here where we are, if you got a nice house, not even a nice house, we got a decent house, if you location, like we're still in an inventory shortage, right?
Right.
So we're still out here where there's houses. I just got a house under contract I'm doing a loan for, a mortgage for, that was, they guaranteed $10,000 over asking price. You know what I'm saying? Because this buyer was looking for a house in Virginia Beach at $400,000, which is like the number one thing that everybody looks for, right? So, if you have houses like that, that are, that show well and everything like that, I mean, no matter what commission split a listing agent negotiates with the seller, there's going to be people who are going to want that house. I mean, that's just what it is. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's not going to sit if it's a prized possession. I think listing agents, they're going to know that. They're going to know what situation they can attack, and have that method brought into. If you're a seasoned real estate agent, what house is going to move quick. So hey, I own this house because I know it's going to be a high demand for it. Hey, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
So.
But yeah. Well, more to come. You know, we'll definitely keep checking in and let you guys know what we're seeing out here. And
yeah,
it's about to be a doggy dog world.
Yeah, wild wild west, as I say. You know, it's about to be definitely, you know, a doggy dog world for sure, man. So we'll see. You know, I'm a very ethical person, so I'm hoping that people, you know,
stay on it, and most
people kind of look out for each other. You know, because one day you may be on one side of the transaction, the next day you're gonna be on the other. So you want that love, you know, to flow both ways. But we'll see. We'll see how people do. I already know people always manipulate things. So I already know how it's gonna be.
We'll see. All right, guys. Well, we hope you enjoyed the podcast. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Mine's is SKB_mortgage.
And mine is Brian, Bryan_Royster.
All right, we'll see you next week.
See you next week.